Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. And we'll read all the way through to verse 25. Now when he heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and to those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." From that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left the nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And the news about him went out into all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, taken with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And great multitudes followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us. Even though it's a very short amount of time, we pray that you would just highlight some truths to us, God. And we thank you for this morning. We love you. We bless you. We worship you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, in this passage, Jesus is beginning his ministry. And he leaves Nazareth, where he grew up, and he goes to Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Right? And this says, that Matthew tells us that this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet of Isaiah. And this is what the prophet says, right? "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And to those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." And I just want to focus on verse 16 for a little bit. This is, I believe, one aspect of the gospel, you know, the good news about Jesus Christ. I feel like lately, ever since last week, I attended this conference with Tim Keller. He wasn't there, but his associates were there, and they were talking about, it was called the Gospel DNA Immersion. I feel like God has been really teaching me again just what the gospel, the basics of the gospel, and what it means, and the depth of the good news about Jesus Christ. And this one aspect that I want to talk about here is that God came to us. You know, that light came into the darkness, right? It's not that we had anything to do with Jesus coming to us. You know, it's not that people in the darkness, people that were in the shadow of death, had anything to do to earn or to deserve this light coming into this darkness. There was nothing that we could have done, and there was nothing that we did. But light just came, and light dawned into this dark area, into the shadow of death, all because of his love and all because of his goodness. And this is important for us to remember, that not only at first did light dawn upon darkness without darkness having to do anything, but that the way we live as saved people is still the same way, that we don't earn anything or deserve anything from God. And I think this is why it's so important, because many of us, even though we say that we're Christians and we say that we believe the gospel, there's a part of us that has this attitude like, God, I've been really good this week, or I've been really good today, so you need to come and bless me. Or, God, I've been coming out to early morning prayer, so you need to kind of give me some credit for what I have done. And if that goes on for a while and we keep having this attitude, it's a very subtle thing, but it's there definitely for me. And definitely there's a part of me that says, yeah, I'm kind of working my way up, so to speak, in my relationship with God, in my salvation experience. What happens is when we start seeing people that are completely in darkness, that are completely just not doing anything right, we start having disdain. You know, we start thinking, man, what's wrong with those guys? You know, this was good when I heard a message by Tim Keller on the poor, and he was challenging his church to say, we need to serve the poor. We need to reach out to the poor. And the objection is, well, if we reach out to the poor and help them, they're going to just abuse us, and they're going to use us, and they're going to cheat us somehow, and I don't want to feel cheated. And Tim Keller goes on to show that when Jesus came, when light dawned into darkness, Jesus didn't object. He didn't say, Father, I want to make sure that if I go down into the darkness and give my life to them, that they're not going to, you know, cheat me. You know, they're going to appreciate what I have done. That they're not going to take advantage of what I have done. And if Jesus has raised that objection before he came to earth, he would not have come down to earth, because every single one of us has abused what God has done. You know, every single one of us take advantage of what Jesus has done. And Tim Keller was going on to show that if we have this kind of attitude, it just shows that we don't really believe the gospel. That there was nothing that we could have done, there was nothing that we did to deserve Jesus coming down to earth. And if we truly believe that we were helpless, just like these people, sitting in darkness, sitting in the land of the shadow of death, and God just came to us in his love, you know, and if that truth, you know, changes our hearts, and it humbles us, right? It's a humbling thing to say, yes, there is nothing that I could have done, and there is nothing that I can do to make myself more favorable in the eyes of God. It seems like we can, you know, we work hard and we pray and read the Bible and do all these, but there's nothing we can do to make ourselves more favorable in the eyes of God other than what Jesus Christ has done for us. And, you know, we're humbled, and we can go out and knowing that sometimes we are going to get cheated and sometimes we are going to get taken advantage of, we can give ourselves, not just to the poor, but people in need in general. And so this, you know, the gospel, you know, we couldn't do anything. We were sitting in the land of darkness, sitting in the land of the shadow of death, and light just came. And Jesus starts preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I just want to talk briefly about the calling of the disciples. Right? He goes up to Peter and Andrew, and he says in verse 19, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And verse 20 says, and they immediately left their nets and followed him. And then again, he goes up to James and John. With Zebedee in the picture, they're in the boat with their father, mending their nets together. And Jesus says to John and James, hey, follow me. And immediately, James and John leave their father and follow Jesus. And to me, that's shocking. To me, it's like, that's a little bit rude, Jesus, you know? The Father's right there, and I'm, you know, they're supposed to take care of the Father, and they're supposed to take care of the family, you know, be with the Father, but Jesus says, follow me, and Jesus fully expects them to immediately leave their nets and follow, right? That's how Jesus, you know, I was thinking, I don't think you can separate, you know how in today's age, we separate believing in Christ from following Christ. And we talk about Christians who are saved because they have a saving faith in their mind, but they're not really following Christ. But Bible, I don't think really ever separates the two, you know? It's expected that if you believe in Christ and you become a Christian, so to speak, then you follow Christ. You know, Jesus, I fully expects us to do what Simon Peter and Andrew and John and James did, you know, that they immediately leave what they're doing and they follow Christ and do what he wants them to do, do what he's calling them to do. It's not a, oh, really? Is that really important to you? Then maybe, yeah, then maybe you should just continue doing that and you can follow me when it's convenient for you. You know, when it works out for you. That was never Jesus' intention, and that's never Jesus' intention for us either. Not saying that we should all leave our jobs and follow Christ and become missionaries, fishers of men, but whatever he's calling us to do, you know, when he calls us, he's not expecting a, really? Let me just take care of this, and then I'll follow you. He's expecting us to fully say, yes, Lord. Let me leave immediately whatever I'm doing and follow you. And back to James and John, you know, their father's in the picture and Jesus says, come follow me, leave your father. Basically saying, leave your father and leave that boat and follow me. And I think that's so demanding. But I think Jesus knows. Jesus knows what is best for them and he knows what is best for us. And sometimes Jesus can seem very demanding, but I think that's why it can seem demanding. We're like, because we don't see the full picture. We don't see that Jesus really knows what is best. So when he proposes something to us, we're like, that's crazy. That's demanding. But he knows what's best for James and John. And he also knows what's best for the Father, right? And when he calls them to follow them, to our eyes, it's like, that's shocking, that's rude, that's demanding, that's so much. But Jesus is secure because he's like, no, trust me. If you follow me, your father will be taken care of and you guys will be fishers of men and you guys will have purpose in your life, meaning in your life. And you don't know, you might not know it now, but follow me, just obey and it'll be the best choice that you make, you know, for your life kind of thing. So, yeah, Jesus, again, he's demanding, he's not needy, right? He's not like, oh, I need you, so come, not demanding in that way, but he's firm. You know how sometimes, like, Pastor Sam can be firm, and he'll be like, dude, sometimes I'm like, what? That's crazy. So firm, so demanding, but he's not Jesus. Right, but he's, you know, he's been anointed, and so when he asks us and demands a lot from the church and from the leaders and stuff, he knows that if we were to give ourselves fully to God, that God's not going to leave us hanging, that he's going to bless us even more, bless us back even more for what we give up to follow him. So yeah, so that's kind of the picture of the disciples. Jesus expects us immediately to leave our nets and follow. And then he ministers in Galilee, and I just love it, right? He preaches, proclaims, and then he demonstrates. And that's kind of the model that we want to follow after, right? When we go out to the world, we want to bless them and let them know God loves them, and we want to demonstrate through, well, it could be miracles. It doesn't have to be miracles, right? It's just you're showing your love and showing your care, demonstrating the joy and the peace that is available in God. So, amen. And there's a few things, but let's just close our eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And Chelsea's going to come up and lead us in worship.
so long and after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to
Let's pray together. Let's pray for our house church. There's Jimmy and Bo Young's house church today. So let's just pray that that God would really bless them as they meet and as they discuss and share and stuff. So let's just pray for that house church tonight. Let's also pray for this weekend. We have GIC and EG tonight. And then tomorrow, there's IP meeting during the day. There's youth ministry meeting in the evening. And then on Sunday, Pastor Sam is here. And he will be preaching. So for the two services, morning and afternoon, and then also pray for the Noah's Ark meeting in the morning. And then after the two services, actually the leaders are going to meet with Pastor Sam about just our vision and mission as a church. So we can pray for that meeting as well. So let's just cover our upcoming services this weekend. Let's also pray, let's just pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the churches that are going to meet in Hong Kong and just the various ministries that are in Hong Kong. And let's also pray for our church as we look into more of a local ministry kind of thing, local outreach. There's a lot of need in Hong Kong as well. And so let's just pray that God would give us wisdom and give us really a compassion, right, for the people that are in need in Hong Kong, so that we can join them or join God in what He wants to do. Let's pray. So let's pray for Hong Kong, the churches and the ministries here, and for our church, that we would have first a heart and a compassion for the needy and the poor in Hong Kong, and that God would give us wisdom and direction as to where we can go with that. So let's pray together. Lastly, let's pray for the building search. Let's pray that God would lead us in our church in this crucial time of our church. So let's pray together for that. Father God, we thank You for today. We are just so grateful for Your love, God, for us. and so grateful for the gospel. And teach us what it means to really believe in the gospel, that Jesus, you came and you met all the requirements of God, and that righteousness has now been passed down to us through faith in you. And then teach us what it means, God, to have faith in Jesus Christ, and what that means, you know, to follow Christ and to be his disciple. And so, Lord, show us today and speak to us, God. And Lord, I just want to bless everyone that's here with your presence and your peace today as they go off to their workplace, Father, and to the other stuff that they're doing. I pray, God, for your favor to be upon them and your joy and your strength, God, to be upon them. We want to just forbid and rebuke any attacks of the enemy, God, or any disruption or the works that the enemy might be trying to do. We command them to stop in Jesus' name, and we pray just for your peace, your light to be upon our church members here today. And we thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Have a good day.